these testimonies of these men, we're going to, I'm going to show you a video. God called me to do this back in, I believe it was, the time and date will come up on the, it'll come up on the screen. But this was back, I believe, in 1998. There was a young man we have known for years and years and years, and his mother and father lived over here on Mount Vernon, and they came out to Elam because of somebody outreach ministry going out knocking on doors, and they started coming to church, the mother and father, and brought the kids, and I watched him grow up as a young boy, and you know, God used the father. He helped me on bus ministry, the mother, beautiful people. In fact, his mother still, she comes to our church with the daughter still, and been coming by us here almost 2 years now. And so you'll see, the video will show that, but I just giving you an example tonight. The destruction of alcohol and drugs and what it can do to a person, and then how God can just remove them out of there, because God said, no, 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 you're not going that way. You're not going that way. I intended you, when I, Bible said, before you were created in your mother's womb, I knew you. And so he knew us. He said, no, you ain't going there. I didn't design you for that purpose. Your purpose is to serve me and to walk in my ways and to walk in my word, walk in my truth, and tell others of the goodness that I have shared with you. Praise God. And that's what we're to do. We're to be the testimony, the living testimony. Praise God. And we serve God's, you know, the old testimony, old will, new testimony, new will, the will of God. And it's a living will. It's not a dead will. It's a living will right now, and we're to be in God's will. And so if you're struggling with any kind of encumbrances, whatever the addiction may be, whatever you're dabbling in, God's going to make a way for you to get out of that. And the best way I know is to pray and seek the face of God and say, Lord, I know you don't want me doing those things. God, help me to come out of there. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Amen. That's what we're to do. So tonight, without any further, I want to ask my brother over here, Joshua. And I seen him grow up too as a youngin. And that guy was just that tall. Now look at him today. That's all that good food you've been eating, brother. Yeah, he's a mighty man of God. Praise God. I'm glad to see him. Praise God. So go ahead, brother. Let's run that up to that point, and then we'll cut it, and then I'll bring up the testimony then. Praise God. Thank you.
Lights, action,
get you in there. It doesn't matter. It's still part of this family. You're not ready yet, so I just want to... Brother and sister Cartagena, and we're here at St. Luke's, and Tony's in intensive care. There's just a couple questions I want to ask you. I know we've just went in and looked at Tony and such, and I just want to ask what your feelings at this time, and Brother Jose, I guess I'll start with you and ask you just what are you feeling at this time?
I feel terrible that happened to my son, you know. And a lot of crazy things are happening out there, and people that use this stuff, they go give money to people to go get it for them, and this is one problem that happened with my son, giving $200 to someone else to go get some stuff, and they mix some stuff together. They wanted to keep the money, and they poisoned my son.
What type of substance was that?
I don't know yet. Haven't got the report from the doctor, but this is what happens when you fool around with people out there. Mm-hmm. They do anything for money.
Okay. Sister Cartagena, just what are your feelings at this time?
Mom, I think it's terrible. And she just don't want nobody else to go through it. I just keep thinking back when he was small and the good things he did. And it's just a terrible thing to see. And the parents suffer, and the children and his wife are suffering a lot.
The whole family is suffering a lot. And I just want to say that that my son was doing real good when he was living for God. God watched over him, and he still watched over him. Because my grandson had a dream that they were putting those shocks in his heart, and they talked the night before that, how they put them shocks on him, because this happened to him once before. And my grandson got up. If my grandson wouldn't have got up, he would have been dead. And I don't want to see this happen to any of the guys that use that out there, because it's bad. Everybody wants to rip off everybody. And all I can say, whoever sees this tape and hears what I had to say, stay away from it, because it could be you next.
And the choice of drugs there was heroin, or was it cocaine? Or
it was supposed to be, I think, heroin, but they messed it up real bad. And I think what they did was just kept the money and brought them back a bag that was mixed all up with poison. And
Okay, well, Brother Cartagena, the reason we're taping this is for correctional ministry or just outreach ministry purposes, to let others see that the end result of drug usage, drug overdose, or bad mixing of drugs can and will eventually take anyone's life. In this case, we prayed and sought God, and we're very hopeful. We know that God is a prayer-answering God, that He's very attentive to His children, and we're praying that God would just intervene one more time, His mercy, and raise Tony from his bed of affliction at this time, and that let this tape be a testimony to the mercies of God, and hopefully that Tony, when you see this, that you will realize the grieving that you have caused your parents that dearly love you, and to your wife who has been by your side since this event happened. She did not want to be on tape at this point in time. And also to your children who love you dearly. And we're hoping that you will realize now that we serve a prayer-answering God, and that if you will serve Him, that He will keep His hand upon you and be very merciful to you. Is there any further words of encouragement or any further things you want to say, the two of you?
All I can say, he was doing real good when he was serving God, but he stepped out there and st- start playing around again, and this is when you walk away from God. These are the things that happen. That's all I got to say, fellas or ladies. If you see this film, stay away from him. Stay away from the devil. Get that monkey off your back, because this is what's going to happen to you.
Amen. Sister Cartagena?
Well, I can say I don't know why people get high or want to go that route. I mean, it's not a pretty sight. You think you're having fun and you're not. This is the result of having fun. They don't show you the other side, but this tape is for this benefit for you to see. And there's nothing else out there. God is the best thing that can happen in your life. I mean, if you want to get high in God, because he will satisfy your soul.
Amen. God bless the two of you, and I thank you very much for your time.
Praise God. Amen. So that's the end result of drugs. And it shouldn't happen to anybody, but, you know, even those that God has called into the sainthood, called into the church, brothers and sisters of the Lord, the Most High God, even they get involved in things that it's just sad to see that. And every time I see it, I revert back to that in my mind. I'm thinking, and God had called me to go. A member of my family said, no, you don't want to do that. And I said, well, I just feel such a strong urging of the Lord, of the Holy Ghost, to go and do this. And we've used that for, and that's 1996, I thought it was 98, but we've used that tape in and out of prisons all over the state of Wisconsin that's been presented. Kettle Moraine Correctional, I don't know what other places you might have shown it, Brother Hayes, but all over the state of Wisconsin, trying to just, you know, shock somebody into realizing, the heartache of the parents and of the children, you know. And his son and daughter have grown up, and they're all gone on to the adult years. They all have their own families, their own children, they're all grown. And we'll show you something else here in a minute. I wanted Brother Navarez to come and give a quick 10-minute testimony, brother. And then I've got the rest of my brethren are going to come and speak, so praise God. So come on up here, brother, and give or you want to stand down there, whatever. Praise God. Where God had brought you from, brother. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Will you please do me a favor? Give that hand clap unto the Lord, okay? Give it to him. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, let's see if I can sum up my life in 10 minutes. I had never been involved in drug addiction or alcohol or anything like that. I still needed Jesus, right? Amen. But when I was 29 years old, the Lord reached out and pulled me out of the world I was in. Even though I wasn't involved in drugs and addiction, I was still lost. Amen. So I grew up in a house where they were not Christian. They say they were Catholic. They never stepped into a Catholic church, by the way. They're just Catholics out of the mouth. Be careful with those that call themselves Christians and they're just Christians out of the mouth. If you're not real like Jesus is real, then you're wasting your time. That's a freebie. When I was 29 years old, the Lord pulled me out of the world I was in. I grew up in a house, like I said, where they practiced witchcraft. So I'm very much aware of what the enemy devices are from a young age, all right? But the Lord had been so good to me. My wife and I will be hitting 50 years of marriage in about a month or so. That's her over there. Not only did the Lord get me out of the mess I was in, because I was hit in the same way my family were. All right? And it's weird. As weird as it can be. As the, God is real, so is the devil. But I'd rather go with the winning team, which is Jesus. God is the winning team. I'm in, on his side. I'm on his team. So I grew up in the Lord. After that, 29 years old, I started growing up in the Lord. I started praying. I started fasting. I started seeking the face of God. And here I am today. What you see is all blessings. What I got on is a blessing. The breath I breathe is a blessing. Ain't nobody can do you like Jesus, I'm telling you tonight. Not too long ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. But I serve a mighty God. And the doctor called me up and said, you got to start treatment right away. And I said, excuse me, doctor. I'm going to give myself a second opinion. From the doctor of doctors, the physicians of physicians. So I went on my knees. Listen up, people. I went on my knees not to cry and weep and feel sorry for myself. I went on my knees and I started thanking God for healing me. Hallelujah. I said, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Hallelujah. I wasn't healed yet, but I was thanking him because I know he can do it. I know he's able. I know he is able. I'm a living proof. So I would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. The Lord would wake me up. The Spirit of the Lord just, I'm up. I would get up and go to the living room or somewhere and I started praying. I would start praying, thank you, Jesus. You're great. You're awesome. You're mighty. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for healing me. And one day I'm driving to Chicago, Illinois, from Milwaukee, to go and get this, go and pray for someone in the hospital in Chicago. Amen. So, to make a long story short, we're driving down a country road. And that's what the Lord said, okay. We're talking about Jesus in the car. Amen. And we're driving down this country road. We talk about Jesus and we started worshiping the Lord. And lo and behold, I lifted up my hands to heaven and I said something about Jesus and gave him praise while I'm driving with one hand. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, woo, inhabit my body. Hallelujah. And at that moment, I said and proclaimed, I am healed. I am healed by the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. See, tonight, brother's going to be speaking about addiction. I don't know any better addiction than being addicted to Jesus. You want to live a life that's pleasing to you and yours and to God? Get addicted to Jesus. Amen. When I got high on Jesus, when I was 29 years old, I could leap and shout and praise the Lord, and I'm still at it. And by the grace of God, I'll be 68 years old coming this December, and I still can jump and shout and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be served. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Ain't no better high you can get than to get high with Jesus. When the Holy Ghost come upon you, you receive power to conquer any addiction that you may have in your body, hallelujah, your physical body, because when you get addicted to Jesus, he'll fill the void. He'll fill the need. He'll fill what you need. He'll give it to you. He won't hold nothing back from you, honey. I am a living proof that God can do anything. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. If you are in trouble, call on Jesus. If you're going through sickness in your body, call on Jesus. Listen, you don't need somebody to lay hands on you to be healed. Just call the master healers. Just call on his name, and he will touch you, and he will heal you, and he will deliver you. Ain't nothing impossible for Jesus. Nothing at all. My 10 minutes are out. Lord, bless you. Hallelujah. Immensely greatly tonight.
Bless you, my brother. Great. Amen. Praise God. Ain't that something? Amen. Amen. I feel like singing that song. I sing it in prison, but if I take too long, we might get the hook. So, same, brother? Eight. Now you got to help me with this. Ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody do me like the Lord. Ain't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. I say that ain't nobody do you like Jesus. Ain't nobody do you like the Lord. Ain't nobody do you like Jesus. He's my friend. Oh, come on now. Ain't nobody do you like Jesus. Ain't nobody do you like the Lord. Ain't nobody do you like Jesus. He's my friend. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of other ones I could sing about. He set you free, broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to call my brother Jimmy Lemons up here. Jimmy and I go back. Praise God. You ready, brother? You ready, brother? Come on up here. That's so good about us. You know, we are the prison ministry team for Cornerstone Christian Life Tabernacle. And we brought this brother on loan from his pastor. He's on loan tonight. Praise God. But he's a good brother. I'm telling you, we had a lot of fun together. And we got pictures to prove it, don't we, brother? Yes, we got the Burger King pictures to prove it, but we ain't going to show that. Huh? Here you go, brother. Whatever God puts on your heart, brother, go ahead and tell us.
Amen. Amen. To God be glory. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord again. Amen. We serve a mighty God. Amen. We serve an awesome God, an on-time God. Amen. A God that can work out anything. Amen. He's a problem solver. Amen. Amen. I give God the glory tonight. Amen. Who is the author and finisher of my faith. And I give honor to my wife tonight in her absence. Amen. I thank God for my brothers. Amen. In Christ. Amen. I remember, you know, I think y'all got about 10 hours, I think I could tell the story. Amen. Amen, amen. But anyway, God is just so good. Amen. He been better to me than I've been to myself. Amen. I just want to thank God for the host pastor tonight. Amen. For giving us this invitation. Amen. It's truly a blessing. Amen. To be able to tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. Amen. When I think on the goodness of Jesus and all that he have done for me. Somebody know what I'm talking about. I said, when I think on the goodness of Jesus and all that he have done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I said, when I think on the goodness of Jesus and all that he have done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't want to stir me up here. Amen. Amen. I praise the Lord tonight. Amen. You know, I give God the glory, man. I thank God for the prayers of the saints, amen. They do avail of much. You may see the glory, but you just don't know the whole story. Amen. I thank God, amen, for my mother, amen. She was a praying woman, amen. And I remember my old country boy, amen, growing up in Mississippi. Amen. And I praise God, you know, my mother and father, amen, you know, they went their separate ways, and we ended up moving to Chicago, amen. And I had never seen tall buildings, my brother, because we lived in the flatland. All I knew was woods and trees and little cabin houses and tin roofs and, you know, outhouses and all that kind of stuff. But I thank God, amen, you know, for my upbringing, amen. My mother did all she could to raise me, amen. It was five of us at the time, amen. I praise God, amen. It was tough, amen. My mother, she moved to the city of Chicago, amen, and she ended up being up on welfare, amen. And I never will forget, my mother was starting out, amen. I give God the glory, amen. Hallelujah. I give God the glory tonight, amen. I never will forget my mama. Somebody had stole all the food stamps, and we didn't have no food, and we didn't have the rent to pay, amen. But I thank God for favor. Amen. I thank God for favor, amen. You know, and I just look at the goodness of God, amen, and how God just made a way for us, amen, and gave us favor with the landlord and everything, and the landlord ended up giving us food and all that good stuff, amen. But I heard my mama cry, amen. I thank God, amen. I heard my mama cry one night, amen. I became bitter. And when I became bitter, amen, you know, the devil was waiting on me, amen. And I thank God for his hands, amen. When God got his hands on you, the devil may wound you, but he can't take you out. Hallelujah! Glory to his name. Amen. I give God the glory. Amen. So I remember, amen, I turned to the street life, amen, gang banging, amen. You know, the devil, he always try to set you up. Amen. He'll take you higher in his levels, you know. He made me the chief of the disciples down in Chicago, amen. And I had all these people doing what I say do, amen. But I thank God, amen, that God brought about a change in my life, amen. You know, when God starts dealing with you, it looks like everything you go to do, it don't prosper. Hallelujah. You got to be on the winning side if you want things to prosper. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But I praise God tonight. Amen. I turned to the street life. Amen. And started doing drugs and everything. And I thank God for just having his hands on me. Amen. You know, and the devil tried to take me out. You know, he act like he care about you, but all the time he just trying to trap you up. Because you know already the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. He don't change. Amen. But God can change his plan. Amen. Somebody know what I'm talking about tonight. The devil have a plan, but God can change that plan. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God's plan supersede any man's plan. Amen. So I thank God. Amen. I was shot. Amen. And I thank the Lord, amen, the devil tried to take me out, but God said, not so. Amen. God said, I got a purpose for this man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, because the Bible said the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. And God said, though he fall, amen, he's not utterly cast down. Amen. Amen. So I thank the Lord, amen. I was running from the Lord, amen. I praise the Lord. I was running from the Lord, amen. I end up coming up to Milwaukee. You heard that old saying. You come to Milwaukee, you come on vacation, you end up on probation. Amen. But God know how to do things. You hear me? Amen. He know how to get a hold of you. Amen. You know, if you ever been out in the Mississippi River, you have a different bait you got to use for different fish. Amen. I was one of God's fish. Amen. So he had a hook in me. Amen. No matter where I went, amen, he know how to reel me back. Amen. So I thank the Lord for that. Amen. And that's when I ended up meeting Pastor Mill and Pastor Hayes. Amen. I was first I was locked up in the county jail. Amen. Then I ended up being up locked up in Franklin. Then I ended up being locked up at CCC. Amen. So they ministered to me. Amen. And I thank the Lord for them. They still have that same spirit of caring for people. Amen. We need to give God the praise for the peoples of God. Amen. I mean, it's a sacrifice unto the Lord, amen. And I thank the Lord for them tonight, amen. They witnessed to me, amen. You know, I had got away from my mama. My mama, she prayed for me, laid hands on me, amen. It seemed like that just made me run even harder, amen. But I ended up running into the hands of God again, amen, and running into these hands right now. So I thank the Lord for that, amen. I give God the glory, amen, and how God began to bless my mind and my heart and my soul. And I was in a situation, amen, and the enemy came in my home, amen, and he tried to take me out. But when I called on that name, Jesus, hallelujah, when I called on that name, Jesus, amen. Hey, somebody know what I'm talking about tonight. It's just something about that name, Jesus, amen. It's just power in the name of Jesus, amen. And I thank the Lord, amen, and hallelujah, hallelujah. You got a right to praise him tonight because it's not about me, but it's all about the kingdom of God, amen. So I thank the Lord, amen. And I was like Jonah, I was running from the Lord, amen. And then God humbled me. I told someone, you don't want God to humble you. Amen. I had the money to get out of jail, amen. But guess what? I had a P.O. hole, y'all. Amen. God had a hold on me. Amen. And that's when I really gave my heart and soul to God. Amen. I really gave my heart and soul to God, amen. And I thank God for my pastor, amen. At the time, the name of the church was Divine, amen, Pentecostal Church on 8620 West Fond du Lac. Amen. I thank the Lord for him. When I was doing time, Divine was on my mind. Amen. I thank the Lord. Amen. And you know what? I made a promise to God. I said, Lord, if you bring me out of this situation, because they wanted to throw me away, y'all. Amen. They wanted to throw me away. They said, this man here is from Illinois. He's a leader of a gang. Amen. Used to be a leader of a gang. He's a minister of society. But I got down on my knees, amen, and I prayed to God, hallelujah, amen. God gave me favor, amen, amen. I thank the Lord, hallelujah, glory to his name. I thank the Lord, amen. It was my parole officer, she was saying that, you know, God understand. I said, yeah, but I got a God that can work this situation out, amen, amen. So I thank the Lord, amen, that God gave me favor, and it was someone that I'm going to make it quick. Amen. It was a man that came in the cell. Amen. And he was saying, man, I'm going home tonight, man. I'm going home Friday. And I had been praying. I meant business with God. I had been praying and fasting, and God gave me favor with the guards. Amen. They was coming in. They was calling me pastor then. They was coming in and said, Pastor, you all right? I said, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm just being blessed by the Lord. Amen. And God was sending ministering angels to minister to me, to let me know when I was going home, y'all. Amen. And I praise the Lord today. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. Amen. I said, now how can he be going home? Because I know when you come in here, you got to sit for a while. Amen. But I thank the Lord, amen, that the Lord blessed me. And guess what? I end up getting out on my birthday, February the 26th. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I praise God tonight. I mean, I don't have all the time tonight, but God has just been so good to me. Amen. He filled me with his precious Holy Ghost. Amen. He took me down in the name of Jesus and filled me with his precious Holy Ghost. And he gave me the gift of the Holy Ghost, of the evidence of speaking of the tongue that God so give to all of us. Somebody need to give God some praise tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Reminds me of another song, but I'll let that alone. I'll let it alone. Praise God. We'd be here a long time. Praise God. I'll sing all night. My pastor right here, he was my reader. He'll give you his testimony, but, you know, he said, man, you're a singing evangelist or something, singing somebody or another, you know, always got to sing a song. Got to have a song for the Lord in your heart. God will give you the song. Praise God. So praise God, without any further on my part, praise God, I'm going to ask my pastor, Brother Ed Hayes, to come on up and give his testimony. Amen.
All right, praise God. God is good. I said God is good. All the time, ain't he? All the time, praise God. I just want to read something to you real quickly here. As fastly as I know he gave me 10 minutes, but that's hard to do in 10 minutes. tell people about your life in 10 minutes? That's hard to do. Amen. In Joshua 4, the verses there talk about Joshua and them coming to the river the second time, and they're getting ready to pass over into the promised land. Now, the promised land was a place of milk and honey, but the place they were in was the desert. A lot of us in life get caught up in the desert of life. We forget that God has something so much greater for you. Now, when I was a young man, my brother Mel there, we knew each other from the street. We grew up together. We ran around together. You know, I know young Mr. Taylor, Brother Taylor back there, too. His dad and his mom, I know them. But we grew up on the streets together and stuff, and so he come knocking at my door all the time, knocking at my door, because I grew up in this. I grew up in Pentecost. And my grandfather is J.P. Morgan. Now, you folks don't know him, but a lot of people in Pentecost know who he is. And that's my grandfather. So I grew up in this, and I knew what it was all about. But see, I didn't get along with my family members, my dad especially. So I decided to go out in the world and do my own thing. Amen? And that's what some of us here tonight, you got caught up in the things of the world. You went out into the world and you said, hey, this helped me along here. I got to get away from all the craziness and the madness of my life. But all the time, God has something better for you. Come on, now, God has something better for you, amen. So I went out into the world, you know, and I knew Brother Mel, and he'd always come over to my house and knocking at my door. And me and my wife would see him coming, we'd pull the shades and hide. Honest truth, we'd hide every time we see that brother coming. Say, here comes that crazy Holy Ghost dude again, man. You know, and hide. He'd come down to work. My wife worked at Kmart over on Chase, and he'd come over by her work and put stuff away and lay away, and he'd start talking to her about God. She'd come home mad. Man, that friend of yours, Mel, is over there talking about God again. I wish he'd leave me alone. Praise God, but thank the Lord he didn't. Thank the Lord he didn't, because I believe with all my heart there was prayer behind his motivation. See, I come from a praying family. I had a mom who was a praying woman. My mother, when she died, at her funeral, 5 people got the Holy Ghost and 2 were baptized in Jesus' name at my mom's funeral. Now, that's how you go home and joy. You know what I mean? That's throwing a party there. Come on now. Right? Amen. But anyway, my mother was a praying woman. And when she was on her dying bed, she would pray for folks. And they'd come in to visit her at the hospital. And she was dying. And I never forget it. It was a lady there that came in. And my mom babysat for her. And she said to her, I think her name was Donna. For some reason, I think her name was Donna. I could be wrong. But she'd called her over to the side of her bed because she couldn't see her. My mom had cancer. And she was dying. She called her over to the side of her bed. And she said, Donna, you been going to church? And she said, Lovey, no, I haven't been going. That's my mom's name was Lovey. My mom had a great name. She was a loving person. And her name was Lovey. An incredible lady. Actually, well, I can't get into that. Maybe another time when I come and, you know, say something for you or something. We'll get a little shouting going on here or something. You know what I mean? But my mama was a praying woman. And she asked this woman, she'd been in church, and she said, no, Lovey, I hadn't been going. And my mom, now you got to understand, she was dying. She only lived a couple more hours. But she took this woman by the hand and prayed with her that God would lead her back to the house of God where she belonged. Amen? Now, see, church, that's what we've really been called to do. We've been called to pray and to reach out to lost and dying world. But see, her son kind of drove her to some of that praying that was going on in her life. See, I was a biker. I ran around with bikers. I got crazy with these guys and stuff. I've been stabbed a couple times, been shot at more times than you can imagine. I got caught up in the drug world. And I had people down in South America bringing drugs into Miami, and then from Miami to Chicago, and Chicago into Milwaukee. And I'm not talking about some chump change. I'm talking about I had a lot of money. A lot of money. My children will tell you, they can remember having shopping bags stacked along the wall full of money in my bedroom. I mean, on a whole one side of a whole wall. And you might say I was the money changer for these guys that I was running with. And anyway, I got caught up in that life and all that mess and everything. And just something about my mother praying. My mom kept praying. Now, she didn't know what I was into. She had no idea what I was into. My wife didn't even know what I was going on in my life. You know, the kids say they remember that money piled up, but it wasn't in my bedroom that it was piled up. It was in another room. But my wife never went in there. She never got around anything. But what happens, I made a quick deal one day. Some guys were looking for some stuff. I made a quick deal. I threw $13,000 into my sock drawer, not thinking my wife would go into my sock drawer. You know what I mean? Where she'd get my socks and stuff. And she had done the laundry, and she opened up, and there's that $13,000 laying there. And so she comes to me and says, Eddie, what's with all this money? My wife knew back then when I said something, you better walk with it. You know what I'm saying? And I told her, don't worry about it. Leave it alone. And that's exactly what she did. She closed the drawer. She left alone. She never, ever brought it up again because she knew. Now, I would never hurt my family. My wife knew that. I'd never strike my wife. I'm going to be married going on 49 years. Amen. Praise God. I got a good woman. My wife went through more hell than you can ever imagine in your life. They say, you know, hell on earth. Well, my wife went through it with this guy. And she knew I would never hurt her. But she knew, too, that I didn't play when I said, don't mess with something. Now, I'm going to tell you folks something. I never talked like I talk now. You couldn't get more than three words out of me. I watched you. I saw what you did. If I was in a bar, I'd sit in the bar with my back to the wall, and I'd watch which hand you used to pick your drink up with, because I wanted to know if you were left-handed or right-handed in case I had to deal with you later. That's the way the world does. That's how the world makes your mind think. The world makes you think like that. I mean, that's crazy. You'd say, oh, that's insane. Well, you know what? It isn't insane when you run around with the people I was running around with. All the people I was running around with, murderers, pimps, whores, prostitutes, those types of people, drug dealers, those were the people I ran. Those were my so-called friends. And at home, here's a woman. You could roll a joint in front of my wife, and she probably wouldn't even know what it was. That's how naive my wife was. She would not know what it was. She just, that wasn't her lifestyle. She didn't come out. My wife grew up raising her brothers and sisters. You know, she didn't get outside very much. She was always with her brothers and sisters. And so as life went on, I was dealing all these drugs, had all this money and stuff. You know, we were eating, you know, high off the hog, as they would say. You know, straps across the back of the hog. They say eating high off the hog, the straps. Yeah, well, then one day, God began to deal with my life. I had a brother who died of cancer, but before he died of cancer, he had given his life to God, and he went back to church, and he'd come over and invite me to church. Now, you had to understand, he was dying, so I thought, well, I'll go to church with him, not realizing actually what was happening was God was dealing with me through the prayers of a mother. You hear me, ladies? Through the prayers of a mother. Don't ever quit praying for your loved ones, ever. Because it took 24 years, but God answered my mother's prayers. 24 years she spent on her knees crying out to God for this wasted piece of bones, I used to think anyway. But yet she loved me enough to take my name before God every day. She would pray for her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, her pastor, and then she'd go through the whole church. My mother died. She had calluses on her knees from praying. Honest truth, she literally had calluses on her knees. But she loved Jesus. She loved Jesus. And she'd keep praying for her kids. Before my mother died, now, just shortly before my mother died, that I came back to the Lord. But just before my mother died, she was praying and stuff. But she'd gotten cancer, and she couldn't get out of bed to pray like she used to. She'd have to sit up on the end of the bed, you know, and pray. My mother was 76, I think, 75 years old when she passed. But she was always afraid, because she was sick from that chemo and everything, that she wouldn't get up for her prayer time. But our God is a good God. My mom had a little Christmas wreath on top of her mirror in her one of them chest drawer things, you know what I'm talking about? And she had this little wreath up there. It was just a little wreath that lit up. That's all it did. It just lit up. And my mom had it up there lit up, and she would laying in bed, and she was worried that she wouldn't get up for prayer. She said, Lord, don't let me oversleep my prayer time. Please don't let me oversleep my prayer time. All of a sudden, at 3 o'clock in the morning, exactly at 3 o'clock in the morning, that little wreath began to blink. And it blinked and blinked and blinked until it woke her up. And she would get up and she would pray. And when she laid back down, she realized that it wasn't blinking anymore. She went back to sleep. Next night, she laid down, went to sleep, and guess what? Blink, 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 blink. God's time clock, his alarm clock went off. And she got up and she would pray for her sons. Now, my mom, we had 15 kids in my family. And, you know, we come from the old times, you know. My mom had three sets of twins. And so, you know, she knew all about kids, but she knew how to pray. And anyway, she began to pray, and my brother began to invite me out to church. And I would go, you know, I would go just for his sake. You know, I didn't really think about going back to church. And then God began to deal with my heart. And in the same time, he got my daughter, Debbie. I wish you could meet my daughter, Debbie. Sweetest little thing. Skinnier than a nothing. And she would pray her little heart out for her daddy. And he started taking her to church and stuff and that. And so he started asking me out. And then my brother got cancer and he died. I got angry with God. I got real angry with God. And for 4 days and four nights, if my wife was here tonight, she would testify to this. 4 days and four nights, I argued with God in my front room. I said all sorts of things. I cursed him up and down. I said, "You aren't a real God." I mean, I was angry. At one point, I told him, I said, "God, if you're real, then kill me. Kill me. If you're real, kill me." Ain't you glad God understands what's going on in our life? Because if he didn't, I'd be a dead man right now. I'm telling you, I'd be one dead man right now. Praise God. You know how it is. Your kids get mad at you. They come and want something. You say no, and they get all mad. You know, they throw a little fit. God knew I was throwing a little fit. He said, "That's my kid down there acting stupid. You know, look at him acting stupid. I kill him, he'd be wasting a good soul." But God kept dealing with my heart, with my mind. He delivered me from drugs. God delivered me from drugs. Now, I didn't, now, don't get me wrong what I'm about to say, okay? I did not go to AA. I did not go to NA. Okay? I did not go to any of that stuff. What I did is I went to the church. God began to deal with my heart, and I went to church, and I found myself a place to pray at the altar. And I'll never forget this. I prayed so hard that when I got up, the cloth from the rug was wet from where my tears were. And I'll never forget my daughter kneeling next to me. In her little hand, she was only 8 years old, in her little hand on me, and she said, "Jesus, save my daddy. Jesus, save my daddy. Come unto the Lord as a little child." And the way he said, "Come unto me as a little child." Amen. God hears the prayers of a mother and a child. Praying church is the best thing you can do for anybody. If you're here tonight, I would like to say this, and if I'm out of line, Bishop, you straighten me out. If you're here and you got a problem with anything, and I don't care what it is, drugs, alcohol, it can just be finances, it can be whatever it wants to be. I don't care what it is. If you will just get as close to God as you can, I promise you, God will answer your prayers. God will deliver you. God will set you free from whatever it is that's got you in bondage. He will break the chains and the fetters of drugs and alcohol, sex addiction, anger, you name it. God can set you free. God began to break off the chains and fetters of my life. He began to set me free. I gave all the drugs to my biker friends and the money and walked away alive. That's unheard of. Unheard of. You don't walk away from the people that I ran around with. You would be dead. I'm talking about, I had a lot of money, people. I'm talking about, if I wanted a new car, there you were. I could have anything I wanted to do. I had power. God forgive me. I had women. Okay, I had all this stuff that the world says it's so great. But you know what I didn't have? I didn't have anything in here plugging that hole, the emptiness in my life. There was something empty and dark, and I couldn't understand it. It was God trying to fill the hole. So I gave back all the money and everything, and I went back to the house of God. God began to deal with me. And you know what? Of all the things I've used heroin, you name it, I've used it all. I've stuck needles in my arms, dope up my nose. I've smoked hash. I smoked, you name it. If it could be smoked, I smoked it. Marijuana, I mean, you name it. Anything you can think of. I've smoked heroin. You know, I tried it all. I mean, I've tried everything. My mind should be so messed up that I can't even talk straight. You know, the English language, I'm not the greatest orator in the world, and I know that. Brother Hayes is Brother Hayes. I say it like it is, and that's all there is to you. You have to forgive me. Just the way I am, okay? And the thing is this, God delivered me from all that. He set me free from all that bondage, of all that junk in my life. He set me free from the fact that I thought money was the answer to all my problems. My kids wanted something. Here you go. Can you imagine little 6, 7, 8-year-old girls running around $200, $300 in their pocket? That's unheard of. I grew up down the street here. Church, I grew up right down the street here. My daughters went to, it's called a High School of the Arts, right? High School of the Arts now. Oh, that's where my kids went to school. One went there for singing and dancing. The other went there for music. Okay? I grew up in the hood. To me, matter of fact, God, can I show you? I got a little more time. Just a little time, okay? Come on, just a little time, okay? All right. God took me out of this mess. And you know where he put me at? He put me over on the south side in the middle of a neighborhood. I moved in October. I did not see anybody until the following summer. I didn't see nobody. Now, you come from the hood. You can step outside. There's somebody out there 24/7. There's somebody always outside. Not over there. I told my wife, I said, it's crazy over here. This is spooky. Excuse me. I almost lost my store-bought. Excuse me, Lord. Yeah, that's all right. But stop and think about that. I mean, God brought me out of that kind of a mess. And he satisfied my soul. But I did not think that God would ever call me to preach the word. I never did. I went back to church. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You know what I did at church when I got back to church? I cleaned toilets. And loved every minute of it. I cleaned the windows in the church. And I loved it. You know why I could do it? You know why? Because I could sing and nobody was around. Tell me, Ed, quit making all that noise. Yeah? Yeah. I'm so bad at singing, my kids would not allow me to sing in the shower at home. That's how bad it was. Man, but I'd get in the house of God, cleaning the windows, me and Jesus. I'd get to singing. Yeah, I'm not Brother Luckman. I'm not the singing preacher. I'm not. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But you know what? God said make a joyful noise, didn't he? He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He didn't say it had to be a good one. He just said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. See, that's where God brought me from. From saying three little words to where you can't shut me up now. You can't shut me up. You put a mic in a preacher's hand, there's no telling what's going to happen. They cannot shut up. I'm telling you. You ever be a bunch of preachers together? We can't help ourselves. God put that in us so that we can preach the word. Amen. Praise God. That's just a little something there. That's all that is. But God's been good to me, church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't make a lot of money. I had a lot of money, but it did not make me happy. And God knew that that's not the thing that would make me happy. So when I went back to church and started working again in a real job, overnight we went to living $8,000 below the poverty level. And one day my little girl came home from this school. She came home, and I was sitting on the couch thinking to myself, now, where can I get some money at? Where can I get a job at? Just during the recession. Now, I knew I could get some money if I really wanted money, but I'd given up all that nonsense. My daughter came home from school, sat down beside me, 15, 14, 15 years old, sat down beside me, and she said, Daddy, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. And I'm thinking, as a father, I'm thinking in my head, you got to be kidding me, baby. We're living poor and poor now. You ain't got nothing. I couldn't buy you a new pair of tennis shoes if you wanted them. And she looked at me. I said, baby, what do you mean? She looked at me and she said, I got my daddy back. I got my daddy back. Gentlemen, you are the priest of your household, and you need to act like the priest of your household. We need to quit letting the women carry the load all the time. We need to quit. We praying? Should be a man at that altar praying. Priest of the household should be there praying. Priest of the household should be lifting up his family. It shouldn't always be the women. But yet, it seems to be that way sometimes. God delivered me. He delivered me and made my life over brand new. He set me free from drugs and alcohol, violence, and all that nonsense. He gave me an opportunity to preach his word. And every time I can, I will. I will preach the word of God to whoever who will listen. He put me back in jail. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been locked up before. Brother Luckman is too. Don't let him fool you. Don't let him get up here and talk that old sweet stuff like, that brother been locked down now. Don't let him fool you none. That's right. I'm telling on you, man. You get up here and always blaming me and Brother Lemons and that all the time. Ain't it the truth, Jimmy? It's the truth, ain't it? That brother here, and he gets up all up here and looking nice and everything, right? He's just as bad as the rest of us. Don't let him fool you none. We grew up together, so if I'm this bad, you know he's that bad, right? Amen. That's all right. I'm his pastor. He can't say nothing. Yeah. And if he does, I get even with him at home. Oh, praise God. But anyway, God brought me out of that desert in life, that place that I wandered around in for years and years. And like I said, I have a sermon I call, It's Time to Cross the Jordan. And that's what it is, church. It's time for us to, as a church, to cross the Jordan into the promised land. God has made some promises to you and to me that he would do some things. He said he would deliver you. You want deliverance? God can give you deliverance. You want to be set free from the things in your life that are bothering you? I don't care what they are, financial, whatever they are. God can set you free from them things. He can answer your prayers. God taught me how to be a praying man. You know how I learned to be a praying man? By going to church on Saturday and praying. We had morning prayer at church on Saturdays. And listening to my pastor pray. I said, God, I don't know how to pray. What do I do? And he said, get as close to your pastor as you can. I'm telling you the truth. God said, get as close to your pastor as you can and listen to him. And I got like, that would be the pew at Elam. Pastor Rogers always prayed in this area right here. Always. Pastor Rogers is my pastor. He's my bishop. I love him so much. Praise God. He's a great man of God. And anyway, he was there and he was praying. And I listened to that man call out every name of every person in that church. And at that time, we had over 400 people in church. And I listened to him name every single person from the oldest to the youngest and call their name out before God. And he loved God so much. My pastor, Pastor Rogers, is the person that loves God. I'm talking about Bishop. Now, I'm not, Steve does too. Don't get wrong. But I'm talking about Bishop. That's my pastor. And God said, listen to him. And I began to listen to him from his heart, not so much his words, but his heart, like how much he loved his people. And God taught me how to pray that way, to pray from your heart, church. When you're dealing with something in your life that just won't let you go, or you got a loved one that's dealing with something in their life that won't let them, pray from your heart. Take it before the throne of the Master. Take it before the mercy seat of God Almighty. And tell you what, lay it there and give it to him. And don't go back and pick it up. Don't go back and pick it up. Don't be double-minded and pick it back up again. Because all you've done is waste your time. To give it to God and say, God, here it is. I called God on his promises. I said, you said you would deliver me? Deliver me. He did. Then you know what? The next thing I said, Lord, my wife is a heathen. You got to save her. She was Catholic, but I called her a heathen anyway. I love her, Lord. I really love her. She was a good Catholic. She went to church every Christmas and every Easter. Honest. If you think I'm lying, you ask my wife. And I asked God, I said, Lord, save my wife. Save my babies. I have 5 daughters. And I wanted my children saved. I wanted to see my wife saved. And God began to deal with her heart. And one day I got up to go to church, me and my girls. And all of a sudden, I see her over here. She's putting on her nylons and on them pantyhose and all that there stuff. You know what I mean? Doing that thing. Getting all dressed up. And I'm thinking, where's this woman going? And I said, I'm going out to the car. And she's right behind me, following right behind me. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to church. I said, oh, you're going to church. Now, wait a minute. Why? I said, you're going to church? I said, well, you want me to drop you off at St. Anthony's over here? She said, no, I'm going to church with you. I'm going to church for you. She was about to hear the truth of God. She's about to hear the real word about being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. A praying woman led my wife to the altar of repentance. She repented, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Next night, she was baptized in Jesus' name, and she ain't looked back since. That's what God will do for you. That's how God will deliver you. Trust God in his word. Amen. God bless you all.
Is this good?
I know I went
is this
over good?
10. Praise God. He went over. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right, brother. Preach it. Amen. You got, I don't know. Yeah, we got correctional ministry people here, you know. Praise God. We're helping you. Praise God. But, yeah, and the brother is right, because I grew up in the same neighborhood around here. We used to run up and down and all up and down Highland, State Street, the Great Street. And I went to Wells Junior High, which is now the Rescue Mission. And a whole lot of stuff, you know, that we did. And got in trouble around the neighborhood. Sorry to say that, but it's the way it paid for it, too. And I was 19 years old. I was incarcerated when I was a juvenile at the Plymouth, which is Kettle Moraine now, adult correctional facility. And I was there about three times because I didn't learn my first time. And then from there, I got in some trouble and got a 29-year sentence for a heinous crime that I committed with a revolver, and was sentenced there at the Green Bay Reformatory. And it's all because the drug and alcohol. You know, you get loose and you're running around doing things you shouldn't be doing. I had a dysfunctional family life. So you do what you do. You have no direction in life and no purpose, and you just do what you do. And but God got me out of that place in 6 years, and I didn't learn my lesson. I started back into drugs and alcohol again. And but someone came and sat me down, and he gave me wise counsel. He said, "You got about 22 years of paper to do. You want to go back to that place again?" And I thought that over, and I said, "Well, freedom is nice. I like this." And matter of fact, it was my wife of 43 years that gave me that wise counsel. And I had to put that in, brother. But she gave me wise counsel. In fact, she's over now at the Cornerstone teaching the ladies, talking about the bad women of the Bible. And she's got good lesson going on there. She really puts she'll study for a month just to get everything just the way it should be. Praise God. And praying and fasting and all these things. But, and I said, "Okay, you're right." And they took me up to a church camp up in Shawano. I don't know if any of you ever been there, but mosquitoes were big. Brother, the mosquitoes were big, and I was still a smoker at that time. See, she married me outside the church, and it doesn't work for everybody, but it worked for us. Now, there are some that have tried it. It just didn't work for them, and I won't go into that, but it worked for us. And I said, "I'm never coming back to this God-forsaken place. I'm never coming back to this Shawano camp no more. The mosquitoes are tearing me up," and I was smoking whatever I was smoking at that time. I know it wasn't wacky tobacco, but anyhow, my brother-in-law didn't play that, and he had the license. He was driving. I didn't have a license at that time, and so I come back to Milwaukee, and it just happened to be one service, one night. There's just that one service, isn't there? Man, I made my way down to an altar, and I felt like every eye in the place was looking at me. I made my way down there, and this brother was talking about wetting the carpet. I cried buckets of tears. I mean, I wept before God and said, "Lord, I am just a bad person. I don't even know why you even put your hand upon me." And but God did. And I took on the name of Jesus Christ that night in a watery grave. And I didn't get the Holy Ghost that night. It wasn't until about maybe 3 weeks later. And I remember I had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket. It was a rainy night, and I'm walking. I'm still smoking, even though I was baptized. And I'm walking, and it was a rainy night, and I took those cigarettes out, and I crushed them, and I threw them in a sewer, threw them down in a gutter, and I watched them go down to a sewer. It was raining that hard. And that same week, the week of that Sunday fell on, God baptized me with the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's been about 42 years, been 42 years now that I've been walking the talk. And I say, if you're going to talk it, you got to walk it. You know, AA, you're going to talk it, you got to walk it. And I witnessed to everything. I witnessed to everybody in the neighborhood, anybody I could, I witnessed. Went on bus ministry, been out there, praise God. Brother Hayes and myself went out there. Brother Navarez, I know he's a part of the bus ministry at one time. And we went out there knocking on doors and reaching the neighborhood. Many have come and were baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost through that. And then God called me into prison ministry. I said, "No, Lord, I came out of that place. I don't want to go back there. No, let them handle their own affairs. I don't need to be a part of that." But there I am. Whoop, there I am. I'm in the Marshall Shearer Center down on, some of you know where the 14th and McKinley is, between Philippe and McKinley, by the repairers of the breach. And so there I was ministering the word of God there. And I would get out of there sometimes at 10 o'clock at night. I found favor and had favor with the administration, and they would never kick me out. And in years, I ministered in that facility. And then I enlisted some other people to help me. This man could not read. He was illiterate. And I'd have him always, I'd say, brother, he said, I can't read, brother. I said, you're going to read. There's my sermon right there. You can read that passage. You can read it. I know you can do it. And there he was, standing up there reading. And he stumbled a little bit, but he made it, and we succeeded. Praise God. Now the brother, I go over to his house. He's got a library full of books. He's got books everywhere. I think if his wife allowed him to pound some more nails in the wall, he'd probably hook up some more shelves for some more books. The guy's a bookworm, you know. But praise God, I'm thankful that God brought me out of that. I witnessed to my brothers. I have three brothers that are dead because of substance abuse, crack cocaine. Found one of my brothers dead in South Carolina. His heart exploded, and he had smoked so much crack. And he was a millionaire at one time and lost it all, drugs and alcohol, lost his wife, his kids. Everybody just abandoned him. He abandoned them, really. And I have another brother that died. His car hit a bus over on the south side and lost part of his brain and died. He didn't die right then. They saved him, put him in a nursing home. And while he was in the nursing home, he was watching television one night, and I don't know if he understood what was going on, but I get a call, the phone rings, I answer the phone, and they said, your brother, we pulled him out from the front of the TV and moved him into his room. And I said, well, why did you do that? You know, what happened? I said, it was a Sunday night, I remember it well. I just got in from church, and his son, 15 years old, was shot by and killed by a drive-by shooting. His son was involved in gangs and drugs, and was killed right over on the south side in one of the streets over there. And he didn't even know what went on. He didn't even know about his son being dead. You know, just his brain was gone. And then he died on a gurney in the Columbia Hospital, where my brother-in-law had just laid a couple months before. My brother-in-law had been beaten up and dropped in front of the place, and they pulled him in, put him on that same, because I went there to pray for him. And my brother-in-law was spared. His life was spared, and he's living today. And my brother died on that same gurney, with his body oozing blood, and because of drugs and alcohol. See, my brother was baptized. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, but he drifted away from God. He drifted away from God. I'm telling you, folks, and just like the brother said, the best addiction you can get, Brother Navarez, is Jesus. That's the best addiction that you can have. Praise God. Now, I don't know, Pastor, we got a few more. Praise God. Take my liberty. Brother, I want you to show the rest of this film. I want to show you what prayer and what God can do. There is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. He certainly will do for you. Praise God. Now, I'm not condoning this, but I'm telling you that God answers prayer. Praise God. So let's look at this, and then we'll close. Praise God.
Tony? Let's hear it, Tony. Let's say it a little louder now. Jesus. What's that name, Tony? Jesus? Problem,
find us.
Pastor Tony again.
Praise God. I want to show you what prayer can do. Amen. You've seen some of that. That's prayer. You know, the doctors have given up on this young man, even though he was a backslider, even though he started dealing drugs, or taking dope, I don't know if he was dealing it. Prayer can do. Jesus told the lady, the widow at Nain, he said, rise up. And it said that he delivered. Where's Sister Cartagena? Where are you, Sister Cartagena? And he said, Father, I'm going to deliver your son to you.
Tired as they were, and during the week, as tired as they were, laid hands on
lady here dedicated. You talk about a wife, a Christian wife. A Christian wife, a neutralizing faith. This lady never gave up hope. She stuck by this man. She'd be there doing... I went there the other day, Sunday after church. I got the rest of that video. I went there. This lady was in there helping him and doing things for him. Sticking by his side through thick and thin. Amen. Praise God. You talk about a dedicated woman. You men that are looking for wives, find a praying woman. Find a woman that really cares about a man. She could have well left him. She could have said, gave up on Tony. But she didn't. She hung in there. That's the power of Pentecost. That's the power of the Holy Ghost that gives you the power. Hallelujah. Stand. 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 That's what God is telling you tonight. Stand. No matter what the adversary may say. If he writes you off the seat of life, stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. And all perseverance. Unneutralizing your faith with all perseverance. And all I have to say tonight, but I would say we need to gather around this young man, all of us, and let's pray. Pray for this family. Let's pray for Tony one more time. One more time. God has brought his son back home. Amen. Hallelujah, son that I gave you.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's the choir from the Pentecostals of Alexandria. If you've never been there, whoo. Brother Brown, have you been there? Oh my God! Church ought to get together, and you know your pastor and pastorette need to go to Alexandria, Louisiana, because of the times when they have it next year, brother. I'm telling you, whoo, man, it's just tremendous. But praise God! Let's stand tonight. I don't want to hold you any longer. Some of you, you know. But I guess you know, and I don't guess, I know that you got what we're trying to tell you here tonight. What we're trying to say and what the brethren are trying to say in their testimonies, hey, we've been there, done that. God brought us out of a miry clay, set our feet on a solid foundation, praise God. And he can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever think or ask. Now, I had a short sermon, but I'm not going to even bother with that. Praise God. Amen. That's for another time. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you now, if you're in a mess, you can get out of that mess. Just fall on your face before God. Ask God to help you through that struggle, whatever it is. Amen. And God can do all things. He can do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you could ever imagine or think or ask. He will do it for you. So just keep your faith, your hope, and trust in God and sell out to the Lord, not out to the world. We're going home one day. Brothers and sisters, we're going home. Look at the events that are happening around the world over in Korea, in those areas over there, what's happening. They're getting ready to have a big war. Amen. And what does the Bible talk? It talks about the Battle of Armageddon. We've been there. Brother Hayes and myself and our wives have been to the battle. We've been to Armageddon. We've seen Armageddon. It is a long, long stretch, praise God. And it ain't no mess, no joke, I should say. It will be a mess one day, praise God, but we're going to be out of here. We're going to be up out of here. We're going to be walking on streets of gold. Amen. And when we cross over into that promised land, when we cross over that promised land, we step over into that promised land, walk through that gate of pearl, whichever one of the 12 it is. But when we walk over there, oh, won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Answer me with a song, brother. Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Lordy, won't we have a time? We'll sing and shout and walk about when we get over yonder. We'll sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. We'll sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. Lord, won't we have a time? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder, Lord? Won't we have a time? Praise God, we're going to have a time. We're going to have a time. Praise God. And we're going to be thanking the Lord, and we're going to see him, praise God, bright and bright and shining. There won't be any other lights in heaven. Amen. But he'll be that light. Praise God. Amen. We're going to be healed, sister. We're going to be healed. Yeah, we're going to be walking around that throne. We're going to be healed. Amen. So praise God. I thank Brother Brownie. I thank you for inviting us, having us tonight. Praise God. And you might close with prayer, but come on, brother. And you close us down. And amen. I don't want to keep, you know, praise God. Here you go, brother. Thank you.
God bless you. Amen. What a wonderful testimony. Amen. I really was blessed tonight. You know, you may not have experienced, gone through exactly what they've gone through, but that's a witness that God's power can reach to the utmost. He can save no matter where, what situation you're in. And I don't want to close without giving the opportunity, if you do want prayer, to come down to the front. And let's pray. Because the one thing that absolutely works is prayer. Absolutely works is prayer. I can remember many times in my life when I've been desperate. And when I have been desperate and reached out to God. He says, the broken and a contrite heart he will no way despise. So we're going to close, but we want to close with prayer. And it doesn't take a long prayer. It just takes a prayer that comes from the heart, as they said. And we're going to close this ministry tonight about addiction. And we know that we serve a God that all it took was for that lady to touch the hem of his garment. If you will stretch out by faith tonight and touch the hem of his garment, if you have a heart that is desirous for a change, for something different, God is here, willing and able to meet you at your place of need. Hallelujah. I'm just going to ask for them to pray for those that are at the altar as we close. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you right now for showing up at Rehoboth. Lord, you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, you know that each and every one of us have needs tonight. Lord, you know each situation. You know our heart's desire. You know where we live. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord God, to just move in our situation. Help us as we pray from the heart to come before your throne. Hallelujah. Lord, let this prayer ascend like incense into your throne room. Lord, do a work, do a miracle. Let your word be manifest in our lives right now. Let there be a breaking of the chains. Let there be a turning around. Let true repentance come before your throne. Lord, we ask for deliverance. Break the chain of addiction. Break the chain of alcohol. Break the chain of lust. Break the chain of adultery. In the name of Jesus, we just put it all before you. We ask you to move right now. Oh, hallelujah. Let your Holy Spirit minister to each and every one that's here, Lord God. Bring deliverance. Bring healing. Hallelujah. Bring a change. Hallelujah. We desire you. We need you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For all that you're doing right now. Come on, church. Let's just pray for a little bit. Let's reach out to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's touch the throne of heaven. Hallelujah. Because he is able. He is willing. Hallelujah. To touch you right now. Thank you.
Break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let just have a little faith right now. Had a made up mind to say, Lord, I want to change. I need your help right now, Father. In my life to have a breakthrough, to get a deliverance. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There's an all.